The Bromsgrove Standard Podcast with Tristan Harris.
Pretty well, welcome to the Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard Podcast. This week we've got with us Paul Wright, who's from Ballinwood FC. And you contacted us a few weeks ago, didn't you? Because you've got two new teams starting for the 2019-20 season, and you're looking for players in the under-7s and under-8s. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yes, thank you for inviting me. Yeah, we've started Ballinwood Football Club on the back of our current team, which is called Barnt Green Colts. And we've been looking over the last couple of years. We've always been a one-team club, and we've been looking at how we could grow the team in terms of attracting new kids. And where Ballinwood is in Frankley and Rubery, you know, we've got a great facility and we've got a great potential audience. So we've put lots of tweets out there, lots of Facebook posts, come to yourselves. And so far, we've got around 25 boys and girls, hopefully, coming along this Saturday for the first of our three taster sessions.
Oh, so that's good then. That's a good response so far. I mean, like you say, the area, you've got loads of really good good primary schools there and stuff. You've got like the Holywell and Ballinwood themselves and all those. So yes, it should be good to feed into that. And you're entered into the Central Warwickshire Youth Football League, aren't you, for next season?
Yes. We've been as a team for around 5 years. Starting in Barnt Green, itself, and we've moved grounds from Barnt Green, Alf Church, Licky Hills, and now Ballinwood. So this is just the perfect opportunity for us to grow as a club.
And what's the Central Warwickshire Youth Football League like then? Are most of the games fairly local, or are they?
The majority of them are. I mean, there are the occasionals. We've got to go to Sutton, to North Birmingham, but it's a Sunday morning. Traffic's never that bad. Probably the worst example, last year we had we had to finish a game before the end of April for us to fulfil our league obligations. And we had to be in Tamworth for 6:30 kickoff, and we had to take on all the traffic through Birmingham. And we got there, and it was the darkest night, and we managed to get it through I think we could have done with a few torches, to be honest, but we got there. But that was the furthest, and the rest could be in Bromsgrove, Redditch, Birmingham City Centre area. So it's all local.
Excellent. And so the sessions will take place, the training sessions on the Saturday morning, and then you've got the matches on the Sunday. That's how it's going to go. Yeah, do you know what times the training will be?
So we've got the three taster sessions, which are going to be between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then what we're going to do is work probably backwards. So we're going to start, the season will start in September. And what we're looking to do is kind of work back probably about 4 or 5 weeks, classic in the middle of the summer holidays, and then start the teams from there. So the taster sessions are a way of us finding what demand we've got, but at the same time, it's give us an opportunity to see if we can create 1, 2, 3, or 4 teams out of that age group.
Excellent. So it's completely free as well, so that's good, the taster sessions. So just remind us when they are. There's one this Saturday, sir.
Yeah, we've got them free on the trot just before the Easter. So we've got one this Saturday, the 30th of March, 10 to 11, and then we've got the following two Saturdays, the 6th of April and the 13th of April.
And that's Ballinwood School. Now, all the information is on your Ballinwood FC Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And people can give you a call on 07977 042907. That's 07977 042907. Don't worry if you didn't get that, because it's on, obviously, on your Facebook page, and it's on the article on the Bromsgrove Standard website. And it's a brilliant week to invite you on, because we did this a few weeks ago, and I'm really pleased with this, because this week there was so much happening in football, and I thought I'd just ask you a few questions. Now, the big thing for this week in the Bromsgrove paper is going to be the Jason Cowley goal. Now, you mentioned that you'd listened to previous podcasts, and me and Ian love a good chat about Cowley, don't we? Every week.
We do. I haven't got a mic today.
Yeah, you've got a mic, but we love a good chat about Cowley. And he's now scored what can only be described as a worldie or a wonder goal.
Yeah.
And he's actually, there's talk of it being put forward for the Puskas Award. Now, I thought I'll do a bit of, I've never heard of, I love my football, but I didn't really take much notice of world football. I tend to be a bit tribal with I follow Birmingham City and I love watching England matches. So I haven't really heard much about the Puskas Award. Now, he was a Real Madrid striker, Hungarian, 1950s to 1960s. He got 84 goals in 85 internationals, and 512 goals in 518 matches at club level, which is about Cowley's level, to be honest, isn't it? That's about Cowley.
Yeah,
it's about Cowley's strike rate. So there will be some similarities there if he wins that. There's a guy called David Ball. He was from League One in Fleetwood Town when they beat Preston North End, or they played Preston North End in 2014-15. He's actually had his goal shortlisted for the Puskás Award. And that's the only Englishman, really, of any note in there. There's been winners which have been goals scored in England, like Mo Salah for Liverpool against Everton last year. But no Englishman's ever won this. Mm-hmm. So it's a long shot. What did you think of the goal from a professional football point of view?
I thought it was great. I think it was just sheer brilliance. As somebody who would probably play more of a kind of a central kind of midfield or a defender, you can't but not admire that. I think I read that he said, you know what, I do this all the time, but normally it's not in that position. I'm normally in the middle of the park, miles away from the goal. So from sheer just brilliance, as you say, you don't see it very often, so all we can do is really admire it. It was stunning.
And do you know what else was the best thing about it as well?
There was a TV camera there to video.
Yeah, there was a TV camera to video it. Obviously, that would have been a nightmare if that hadn't have happened. But it was non-league Saturday, because non-league Saturday always takes place when all the internationals are playing, so there's no Villa or Blues games or any of those games. So it was on non-league Saturday, and they had a bumper 1,500 crowd down at Sporting, and Sporting won as well 2-1, which was good.
So they got the money's worth.
So they got their money. The 1,500 people who went got to see that kind of really special moment. So good luck to Cowley. We'll be chatting to him. Ben will be chatting to him, and we'll be getting that in this week's paper.
Can't we get him on?
We could probably get him on.
Yeah,
I think we should try and get him on. Let's get him on.
Find out what his secret is.
Yeah. But as long as he doesn't get injured walking
up and
down
the stairs. Well, he scored, 29 goals this season? So that's pretty prolific, isn't
it? Pretty good. About that a week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is normally. Me and Ian, as you've heard, we always have a little bit of a sweepstake over it.
How
many he's going to get.
No money changes.
No. Ian's always there going, now, who have they got? And what position are they in the league? And then he makes an educated
I think we've all got that kind of bit in us. I think I play over 40s. I admit it, I'm a lot over 40s. So we all want to do that. There's that something magical about a ball. I think that's why people look up to, you know, to footballers. And yes, they have a position of responsibility. But people, you know, look up to them for the abilities they can create.
I remember once, because I used to play for a team called Shenley Grasshoppers. And that was in the Central. I think that was in the Redditch and South Warwickshire League, it was. And we played at Earlswood Town. That's where our games were. And I always wanted to be a striker, but I never really had the pace. But they always used to bring me on. I was a substitute for most of the games. I wasn't really that good. But the one day, I came on and I burst through. And I remember I just got past the halfway line. And there was like this open space, but there was a defender closing. So I just hit this ball as hard as I could. And the keeper was off his line. And it went over him. And then it just went past the post. And it would have been... I would have still been running around that Earlswood Town pitch now if I'd have scored that. But and everybody says to me, like when I meet with my mates, they go, oh, do you remember that one you nearly scored? And I was like, it would have been so much better in my life if that one would have gone in.
To dream.
We can only dream. Us mortals can only dream absolutely. Of getting to Cowley's level. So let's quickly talk about Bromtrest Sporting while we're on the subject. They've got Didcot Town away this weekend. They're fourth in the league, Didcot Town. They beat Corby last week 2-1. Sadly, Cowley's wasn't the winner. It was the first one. We wanted that one to be the winner. So they'll be. I think it's already a two-horse race anyway, but it's going to be even more of a two-horse race if Sporting can win this weekend. How many goals for Cowley?
It's got to be this. I'm going with a hat trick. Definitely going with a hat trick. Yeah,
because he's going to be buoyed on the whole Puskás thing. What happens with the pressure?
No.
I reckon he'll grab one.
One?
I reckon. What
about the
you?
Expert?
I wouldn't say I was an expert. Anybody who knows me, but I think given where he is, his confidence. You'd like to think he could go. Let's go for a hat trick. But I think hopefully it doesn't suddenly go the opposite. You know, that pressure for 400,000 hits was it on the BBC website?
Suddenly been ringing off the hook.
Yeah. So suddenly that distraction. You know. So but I imagine he'll have his feet firmly on the ground and we'll get out and probably want to do it again.
Yeah. Definitely. So that's them. Droitwich Spa, they won 3-0 last weekend against Bustle Home and Ben Tilbury and Callum on the score sheet there. And then tonight they've got Wiley in the league. They're not playing at the weekend. So good luck to Droitwich tonight and good luck to Bromsgrove on Saturday. Now, the next thing I wanted to know, I wanted to ask you about was England, because we're coming on, we're in, I've got you here, and what's been a fantastic week for on the pitch wise, for English football. 5-0 on Saturday with the Sterling hat trick, and then a couple of goals for Ross Barkley.
Friday,
and then Monday, 5-1 against Montenegro. And do you know what? It was brilliant, because when we went 1-0 down, it was just, there was no panic in me. I had a nice beer on the go, and I was thinking, at some point, we're going to just get back into this and win. In the olden days in England, you'd be thinking, oh my God, let's just hope we get one back and get a draw.
The Graham Taylor days.
Yeah, the Graham Taylor days, we'd have taken the defeat, yeah. And Steve McLaren, yeah, with his Dutch accent. But yeah, it's just a brilliant time to be English, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's that, you know, even if you're into football, what you read, I think the biggest thing which I've seen, I think it's been coming, you know, we European, we're world champions at, is it under 19s, 21s, yeah. I'm not quite sure which, but we're really hitting those dizzy heights. I think the challenge comes, as everybody says, are they playing at that top level, at Premier League level, which if they are, then that can only have a knock-on effect to the first, you know, the England first team winning big competitions. So we need these current crop to be playing for their clubs week in, week out.
He's not frightened, is he, Southgate, either,
of
playing the youngsters?
Yeah, yeah.
And he really doesn't give a damn about reputations either. So no. if you're older and established, but you're not good enough, you're not in it.
I think the best thing about Southgate is, like we said before, haven't we, about the media or anybody, nobody can harm him as much as he was after Euro 96. So he's got his Teflon now.
Yeah.
Nobody can do anything. I mean, all that with the old pizza ads and all that was on at the time. I mean, there's nothing that can match
era,
that.
It's
a different era,
isn't it?
It's a different
era. Professionalism today and how they look after themselves, how they train. Yeah, they're well rewarded, and some people say, yeah, it is a bit obscene, but you know what? It is what it is. They're entertainers, you know, on an international level.
It's a relatively short career, if you play.
And I think it comes back to some of the things which, you know, for the kids we work, you know, we're working with, and all we want to do is put them on, you know, the next, you know, the right level going forward. And if that's, you know, understanding, you know, the importance of working as a team, you know, basic discipline, fairness, you know, we want to almost say, look, wherever we take you, you know, we pass you on to somebody who can say, look, we've got some kids, whatever level, they move forward in a positive way.
Yeah. I think it's like, it was Ian Wright, wasn't it? And Jeff Horsfield was the same. Both of those players have both said, well, we started off at this non-league level and then we found we were good there. And then we moved up and we found we were still good and we thought, oh, we'll try the next level. And then before you know it, then they're playing top flight football. And that's how it should be, isn't it? Yeah. And I mean, so I wanted to ask you this as well, because you obviously work a lot more with youth footballers. I used to be a player worker at one point, so I would have been able to answer this question.
For my
now.
Sins, but, bunch of pre-teenagers. Yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
So who do they look up to in the England squad? Who would they most, if you went round that team and said, who would you most like
well,
to
think,
be?
Well, I think, so on international level, it's your Harry Kane, it's who else? I mean, Sterling is just brilliant. I know Trippier wasn't playing, but I think in the World Cup with his crossing, you know, they'd like to see those players, and I think it's what I want to be almost be able to point them towards is great, look at that individual player, but actually look at what else they're doing for their team. So those are your kind of core players. To me, it would be, you know, I mean, I like the Leicester centre half who's Maguire. Just like his ability, and especially Southgate's got him operating at an international level. So, you know, it's going to be your Canes, your Ali,
and the keeper as well.
And you've got the new lads coming through, had their debuts this week as well. So, you know, they're only going to be known from that next group. So I'm talking at under 15s level. You know, we're going to be talking to a bunch of under 7s and under 8s. What they're attracted to is another generation. So,
do you subscribe to this PC brigade that the younger kids that everybody gets a prize? It's not winning. It's the taking part.
My view is that we at under 7 and under 8s, you know, we want them to, the number one factor is we want them to enjoy it and we want them to have fun. And to me, if we do that, we can really instill how to learn the game. So our philosophy is all about the passing game. Bottom line is, we want to win.
Yes.
But I think what we now need to do is understand when you're gonna lose by reality, but actually it's understanding that, you know, don't be a sore loser. Life's tough as it is, you've got to be able to turn that loss into, okay, how do we improve
that?
But
it's better to win.
Yeah, if you keep losing, but there's teams all over there losing, but yeah, we want to win. Absolutely. Well, my under 15s.
Not everyone can win, so now, somebody's got to. So
my under
15s,
they want to win. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes they're the worst defenders, but they want to win. There's no doubt. And it's just managing that.
Now, obviously, the England game, we said we're not going to dwell on this because it's obviously in hand with UEFA, but there was the racist chanting during the England game. And it's quite shocking when you hear that, because I know Gareth Southgate said, you know, I'm not going to lie, he said that this does go on in our country, but I think it's very, very minuscule, isn't it? You don't, I mean, you go down to football grounds, you wouldn't see that. Yeah. 99 times out of 100, or even less than that, I think. It's just, we have stamped it out, and the way the way football matches have been policed over the years and things, and it is just shocking when you see that, isn't it?
I think in the papers this week, John Barnes, ex-Liverpool England player, who's had his fair share of those, has actually said it's not about players turning away, pulling them off the pitch. It's about, really, it's a bigger pitch, a society pitch issue. And that isn't just a British society. As I say, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think we're pretty tolerant in this country. I say that as a white, you know, middle-class bloke. But actually, it is. But actually, there's always still places to go. I mean, without dwelling on work, you know, I work with, you know, talking about inclusion and diversity, but at the same time, we've got to do it for the right reasons.
And
you know, there is still room to improve on. But yeah, it's not acceptable. It's not nice hear when you see it actually happening.
No,
and kids reflect and they see things what they see on the television, but you wouldn't see it in a British ground. Not well. If it is, it's dealt with pretty severely.
And hopefully UEFA will do that. So that's all about. Well, that's about all we've got for football, but that's a bigger than the normal sports section, isn't it?
Certainly is.
So that was good.
Still want to see some darts?
You still want to see some darts?
So we'll go. Can't you cover darts at all?
Or should we go out at lunchtime?
Yeah, we'll have a game in the pub, and then we'll video it.
We'll have a Swifty. Yeah. Just want to mention some other news. A big story this yesterday. It's one of these stories that I love in local. Do you go into Bromsgrove much? Because obviously.
Not as often as I used to, you know, not for an entertainment. I go out and play football in Bromsgrove, but not down the high street as often as I'd like to.
Alex, we've got a PCSO, Julie Wright, and these are the kind of stories I love in this job. She's been there for 12 years. It's a lovely story. It's on and she retired yesterday. And she's one of them people who you always see in Bromsgrove High Street. We're going to miss her, I think. And she's actually... she moved when she came to Bromsgrove. She said that she was from Hartlebury. She just about knew where Bromsgrove was, and then she fell in love with the town, stayed there for 12 years, and she's worked with charities, traders, organisations, and the response we've had on Facebook, wishing her well, just a few messages here. Thanks, Julie, for all your hard work and friendliness. Always nice to see you on the high street. You'll be missed, Tina Hunt. Very pleasant lady, always speaks to people. Enjoy your retirement. We'll miss you, Julie. Bring you happiness and joy. Wish you all the best. That's Anne-Marie Squires Bridgewater. Jeff Hawksworth, all the best and happy retirement. We'll miss you at the Carnival and Courtleet events. And the list goes on. I mean, I think we should really probably bind these and hand them to her, because it's just such a lovely story. And congratulations to Julie for doing such a great job over the years. And we wish her well as well on behalf of the Standard, because we've worked with her on packed meetings and things like that. And it's always, that's a bit like the football, isn't it? Yeah, it's part of the community.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's all, you know, I don't think one person has the whole solution. If it's from the police community, it's a mix of everybody playing their small part of that. And you know, from my point of view, you know, 5 years ago, took my boys down to watch them and play football. And then it moved in terms of, we'll help the manager out. Suddenly you get sucked in, and suddenly you're running a football team. But even I couldn't do it on my own. I've got coaches who support me. We get parents who'll donate things towards our raffle, which raises money ploughed back into the team. And that then has a knock-on effect to, you know, we get a sponsor. You know, their stuff is on their local kids' tops, so they're out in the community. So it's all those lots of touch points, which hopefully kind of point people in the right direction.
And I think, to be honest as well, I mean, football clubs and other activities can solve society's problems by giving young people stuff to do. I mean, we've seen a surge in knife crime, and we've had people on the show before. I think it was when we did Redditch of the Week, the guy there, he was saying that, you know, that's the main... If you look at society 10, 15 years ago and you look at society now, obviously you've got more knife crime and some really nasty incidents. And one of the main differences that almost... I mean, people mention it, but it often gets overlooked, is that, you know, we had a lot more in place. We had youth centres and more youth work. We had council. I mean, when I was working for Birmingham City Council, I was, you know, I was well paid, and we used to put on play schemes and everything. We had all that stuff, and you didn't get as much crime in the holidays and stuff, because police will tell you now that crime goes up in the school holidays, especially in October. October half term is the worst one, because you've got Halloween and stuff, and you've got things to pin it onto. And I think we do need more. I mean, but the problem is yeah. I mean, you can't. I mean, you although volunteering is good, you are going to need people at the top and stuff coordinating who get paid, so you get the quality of people.
I think we've heard just briefly. We've worked with lots of people, you know, giving us advice about setting up a football team. And it's about, you know, what do they do after that? And it's, you know, if that's, you know, there's vulnerable children, there's health, be it obesity, lack of exercise, through to, you know, joining gangs. And a lot of it all comes back to, yeah, being part of a team, but also it's about, can we give them leadership skills? So one of the things we want to do with our future under 15s, they're going to help out next week with the youngsters, so they see them as a potential role model. But also what we're looking for is those kids can go on coaching courses to become a football coach, can become a referee's coaching course. So it's about giving them leadership skills, which gives you a different kind of persona. You know, you're less vulnerable because you're controlling a situation as a leader of whatever that might be as a group. So,
and they might be the football managers, international football managers, obviously.
Yeah, never know.
Winner, maybe one day. Yeah. You mentioned referees, because let's touch on that as well, because that's another thing that comes up, isn't it? There is a shortage of referees, isn't there, going forward? Because of a lack of discipline, I'm guessing. Because there are people who give up their time on a Sunday and love refereeing. They probably wanted to play football or maybe didn't want to play football and wanted to be referees. But the amount of abuse they're getting, I suppose it's like some of the jobs we're seeing in society, they're leaving. Yeah. Their profession early or not staying around.
Physical abuse sometimes.
So, I mean, yeah, that's another aspect of the game that people have got to get a grip on and take ownership of.
Well, football's known as the beautiful game. Yeah. On some Saturday afternoons, it's not a beautiful game, but the simplicity of football is just delightful. One of the great things, having seen that course, my kids are looking at doing that course. I think even if you don't become a referee, that course will give those kids skills in terms of making decisions, controlling a difficult situation, taking themselves out of a potential violent situation. I'm not saying it would prevent some complete lunatic. So it gives those kids a great... So we would instill that for our kids going forward. Going back to a lot of clubs, you know, there is a shortage of referees. There's a lot of young kids coming up. We had one of our ex-players referee a game for us who was refereeing the same age group. Brilliant. He had control. He wasn't involved in the game. It was that classic referee. A good referee is one you don't see, you don't hear, just lets the game flow. And he was absolutely spot on. So I think the skills they can learn from that can set somebody up for life, even if they don't become a referee in the future.
PE teacher of the future, maybe, as well.
Absolutely.
Not Mr. Baxter in Grange Hill.
Remember him? We're showing our age now.
We are showing our age. Yeah, but I think you've hit on it there. You've said good referees let the game flow, and you don't hear of them. Maybe we don't give enough praise to referees, because on the telly they're first to say, "Oh, this was a bad referee decision," and obviously they've got all the mod cons now with the goal line technology and the VAR. But obviously at grassroots level, and people will always be quick to criticise referees, but they'll never go, actually, do you know what? That referee was really good today. How many times will you hear that in the club bar afterwards or the clubhouse?
Well, it all comes back to a basic, simple thing, because you get notified every week that you've got a referee or you haven't got a referee. I've created a little list of all my refs that I can call on. I've got to be very careful when I notify them, because if I notify them too early, I then get a call from somebody saying, "Wait a minute, we haven't noted. They haven't all been notified." So I've got a list of referees I will call. They will know that what the teams they want a referee or not, because of it was too much hassle. So from our point of view, we have got a great little kind of leadership team as our football club, and we won't tolerate that behaviour. So it starts even with us. And it's such an emotional game. I'm not saying none of us get emotional, maybe more passionate. It's about controlling that. And, you know, my two coaches, as well as me, if we see any, you know, anything untoward, we'll have them off, because we're saying it's not part of the game, you know, and that's part of us leading them on in the future.
And of course, it's harder at this level as well, because you've got the referee has to do everything, because the linesmen are club officials, you know.
Yeah, people who are substitutes.
And they really don't want to be doing it. Yeah. And, so the referee's got to have eyes everywhere.
And I think that comes back to, as they become adults, I mean, we're still under 15s, under 16s. At some point, these kids are going to find other interests, which will maybe pull them away. But one of the things which is a great thing for us is the Duke of Edinburgh is great, because the kids will support the younger kids. We've then got the issue of, we need a linesman. I've got two lads at the moment. Well, one lad in particular who's running a line for us, part of his Duke of Edinburgh. So if we can pull that, which isn't just bagging up some kind of some stuff at the supermarket. I'm actually doing some constructive, which gives them a skill, but also helps us out specifically.
Mm, cool. Yeah, I'm loving the emotions. It is, football's emotional. One of the best things in football is watching a penalty shootout when your team's not involved, isn't it? Because it is brilliant. Because you're like there, you're relaxing.
But don't you end up choosing a team in that though? I think I want them to win now.
You're guessing. You're going, oh, he's going to hit the bar. He's going to put it wide. Keeper's going to save this one. But when your team's involved, it's a different story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're going to end with this. We've got a serious issue going on at the moment. This is going to be big in Droitwich. It's a bit random. Last weekend, last Thursday to Friday morning, we had these random attacks on small cars in Droitwich villages and other South Worcestershire villages, where they've basically, between midnight and 4 a.m, they've gone and done about 8 cars, where they've just smashed the window, poured an accelerant in and set these small cars on fire. And the police, we've been liaising with them to find out where it's been going. And then a similar thing happened on Monday and Tuesday, but without the petrol bit. They just smashed these windows. But they've been going to all these different villages, like Crowell, Clanes, Nanton Beauchamp, wherever that is. That's somewhere near Pershore, I think. Flyford, Flavel, Fernal Heath. And it's just a real mystery. So I just thought we'll just appeal to anyone who's listening to this podcast. If you've got any information, please contact the police on 101 and 0800 555 111 for Crime Stoppers. We've got big pieces on our Droitwich website for that, and we'll be doing a big piece in the paper. In the meantime, it's good to see. What you need to do though, you need to get back to us in 3 weeks' time and tell us how it's gone.
Be delighted to.
And then we can, see how many. And then don't forget to send your reports in as well for the team next season.
Wonderful, thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support. Thank you for
coming in. What a perfect week to have you come in this week. We're talking all things football.
Thank you.
So from all things football, we're going to go to all things entertainment with Claire.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Tristan. Once again, we have some fun things happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Bromsgrove and Droitwich areas. Starting off on Friday, the 29th of March, we have Rock and Roll Revolution at the Artrix. This is the award-winning band, the Blue Jays, and they take you on a jiving journey through the fabulous 50s. Packed with over 40 classic hits, including Rock Around the Clock, That'll Be the Day, Jailhouse Rock, Johnny B. Goode, Tutti Frutti, to name but a few, it will transport you back to the era when music changed the world forever. Apparently, a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays were actually flown out to Texas to play for members of Buddy Holly's own family, even being joined on backing vocals by Buddy's own wife. They all loved him, and you will too. You can find out more at rockandrollrevolution.co.uk and get your tickets quick for Friday night on the Artrix website. Also on Friday, the Reflections will be performing at the Hanbury Turn. These guys have been around for over 20 years playing all types of music, but now concentrate on playing their shared passion, which is the 1960s. They're a lot of fun and it's always a good time at the Hanbury Turn. We also have Midtown Groove performing at number 3A in Bromsgrove on Friday evening. These guys are a five-piece Midlands-based function band known for playing funk, soul and R&B. They actually played at my friend's wedding once and they were really brilliant. It's bound to be a really fun night at number 3A on Friday night. Also on Friday, Mr. Wolf will be at the Hot Pole Inn in Bromsgrove on Friday evening. They're becoming regulars there and always put on a great show. And if you're in the mood for a bit of comedy, we've also got Theo's Comedy School show happening at the studio at the Artrix on Friday night too. After 5 weeks of comedy school sessions, Theo's latest batch of comedians take to the stage. So good luck, everyone. It must be really hard actually doing that for the first time. And I'm sure under Theo's tutelage, though, you'll all be absolutely brilliant. I seem to think that our very own Tristan Harris, our editor here, did a course once upon a time with Theo. Look how far he's come. He's actually really funny. Yeah, you heard it there, Tristan. You are funny. So it's obviously a good course. It comes highly recommended. So it'll be a great show to see these guys performing first. Moving on to Saturday, the 30th of March. We always say start your weekend off the right way with a 5K trail run at Churchfields Farm in Salwarp in Droitwich. It's 9 a.m. start there and you can get all the details on their website, www.churchfields-farm.co.uk. Then in the evening, we have lots of things happening on Saturday. Urja Lintinen, I don't know if I've just murdered that name, but she will be performing at the Artrix on Saturday night. She was voted the number one best international solo artist in the Blues Matters Writers Poll a couple of years ago and voted the best guitarist in the European Blues Awards in 2017. She's apparently truly brilliant and it's going to be a fantastic show. Also on Saturday, the fabulous rock band Cada, C-A-D-A, will be on at the Old Black Cross on the Worcester Road on Saturday evening. They always put on a fantastic show. Rusty Sheriff, who plays covers through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, they'll be on at the Hot Pole Inn on Saturday night in Bromsgrove. And also the English Electric Lighting Band, the classic rock band they are. They're a power trio who play blues and lots of rock covers. They'll be performing at the Dog and Pheasant in Bromsgrove on Saturday night. Love the fact that we have so much live music happening in town. It's amazing. We also have an audience with Charlie Green happening at the Salvation Army in Droitwich on Saturday evening. Charlie was first seen a few years back on Britain's Got Talent. Since then, he's toured the world and he's even spent the past 3 years touring the USA with none other than the Osmonds. How cool is that, hey? I think this is Charlie's only West Midlands performance this year, so do get your tickets quick. You can call 01905 795595 or just go to the Salvation Army website and it's the Droitwich branch that you want there. Also on Saturday night, a little hotel on the side theatre production is still happening at the Norbury Theatre in Droitwich. This has been a great theatre production and I think this is actually one of the very last shows of it. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you don't miss out. Moving on to Sunday, the 31st of March, the Gordon Hendricks Unplugged. This is a show that was moved from the 10th of March and is now happening on Sunday. Gordon-Hendricks.com for all the info on that and also on the Artrix's website. Then on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, for any art lovers, there's a lovely art exhibition happening, also at the Artrix on Tuesday. It's entitled Hill and Dolphin, Views on Colour, and is by Bromsgrove artists Lorna Hill and Dave Dolphin. Do try and go and take a look if you can. Then my final pick of the week is on Thursday, the 4th of March, and it's Ed Gamble and his Blizzard comedy show. You may have seen him on Mock the Week, the Russell Howard Hour, or Comedy Central. Chortle says this is a super show from a comic who may be about to become more of a force in the game. I think he's truly brilliant, and I think you will too. Catch him while he's in Bromsgrove. All the details on his website, edgamble.co.uk. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call and let us help you publicise it to all the readers of our newspaper, listeners of this podcast, and also the people who look at our social media channels. Thank you so much for listening and have a great week.
And that brings us to the end of this week's Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standard podcast. Thank you ever so much for listening. Remember, we've got daily news updates on our websites, bromsgrovestandard.co.uk and droitwichstandard.co.uk. You can email us via those websites as well. And don't forget, we've got all the social media gadgets that you could ever need these days. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're on them all. So please follow us and hook up with us there. I hope you have a good week, and we'll be back at the same time next week.